Now we can go to Isaiah 60, verse 1. We kind of had a little pow there, didn't we? Thank you, Jesus. God is good. Well, hallelujah. Where's Patty? In the back? How many kids got saved last night? Six salvations last night. I mean, it's turning into weekly. Thank you, Lord, for that. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Whoever picked the line up, you got it on that one, that first song. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The title of the message today is Let's Get High. Now, I'm not talking about drinking and doing drugs either. I'm talking about pressing into higher places because that's where we belong. And, you know, if you paid any attention to the body of Christ, there's some things you see. I hope you don't just come to church and then never tune in to anybody and see what's going on. But, you know, if you know anything and you've watched the body of Christ over the years, you understand that there are many who do not understand the authority of the believer. But what we do see, now you're real versed in that because you're Word of Faith people and they've known it forever. But now we see other streams understanding authority. Brother Dutch Sheets has had that for a while and been preaching it. And we've seen that things, the body of Christ is picking up who they are. And so the scripture says, I'm going to read Ephesians 1:19. It says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above. Yeah. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and everything that is named, not only in this time, but in the time to come, right? In the ages to come. We see that. Says, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, to the fullness of him who fills all in all. And you he made alive. I'm in verse 2 there, chapter 2 now, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. So you're seated with Christ. Now, this is not new to you. You know this. My prayer is the rest of the body of Christ gets that. And that it's not an insult to Almighty God to say, from my high seat of authority, I declare. Amen. Those words are perfectly wonderful to Jesus. Amen. He appreciates it. Because you have a high seat of authority. You can seed words into an atmosphere and change that atmosphere. You can seed dark words into an atmosphere and, yeah, we don't want to, but it could happen. So, I'm just happy to see. I just wanted to mention that to you while we're talking about being higher, that you have learned to use your authority. And I pray you'll continue to use it. As the preacher just said a minute ago, we're above only. Well, how can that be? Because, you know, Nana, that's our position. We're above only. We are above only because we live in the blessing and not the curse. Amen. Now, we can arise. We can shine. We can enjoy and participate in the glory. And we do, and we shall do more. We can work in the kingdom realm, which changes the natural realm. But I want you to notice that there's something about this verse. There's a command in front of what we can have, or maybe better said, more of a prophetic word that can be received. because it is a prophecy. It said, arise. And that's more of a get up, not just, here it is. It said, arise. And we know the Jews have taught us that that means first and foremost, get yourself to another level. And so I'm so grateful for that, that we understand that you get yourself to another level. We're going higher. And so what is that level? Outside of what we just talked about your authority, you have a high level of authority in this world, as long as you're participating in the kingdom side of life and not just the natural world. Jesus, help us to get that down. But what's the rest of this? Well, it's living in the glory that has been conferred on us. And I'll explain that a little better in a little bit, but it's actually talking about living higher. Well, higher than what? Well, higher than just natural. Higher than mediocre. Higher than coping. Higher than excuses. I'll say that one again. Higher than excuses. Just like we took care of it. Higher than loneliness. Higher than unnatural grief, the wrong grief. Higher than being puzzled about things. Higher. It's higher. We're rising higher. We're going higher. We're going higher in our thoughts. But one of the things I want to say to you is rising higher in your effectiveness. Higher in your place of effectiveness. Now, I believe this verse is prophesying and giving a grace or a power in this specific time for us to move higher. A grace is being offered to us to move higher. And let's say this, the power to press. The power to press, it's a grace to seek. And I would ask you this question. What is your part in this great awakening, in the manifested glory of God that's coming on and in the church? It's going to be a whole lot more than what you've been seeing. It is. Yes. And we've been blessed. Yeah, it's happening right now. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I can say that. Yeah, do you know why? Oh, Jesus. You know why we get kind of chink-eyed? Y'all know what chink-eyed means? You start doing your eyes like that and you get kind of start, you notice we start walking different like Brother Hagin and stuff. It's because the power of God's, because the glory is heavy. The realm is heavier than what's going on in just a normal atmosphere. Now, we've already gotten high in the spirit, but if you notice right now something different, I don't know if it's happening to you. I don't know. You may be, your wood may be wet, but right now things are getting heavier for me while I'm preaching. And just go ahead and take a drink of that. You should just go ahead and take a drink of that and sense and feel and welcome His presence even further. But, I would just ask you that question. What's your part in the glory? What part do you play in what's going to happen in the church? I heard something really good, and this is really tough, but I'm going to say it to you. If you can't press past the inconvenience, if you can't press past the challenges that you have to be in church, then you'll find it not easy to press past the things that come to try to take your life. If you can't press past some of the easier things, like church attendance, how are you going to press past a sickness or a disease or a death or how are you going to press past that? If the enemy attempts to take your life, how are you going to press past that? If you can't get up and put your clothes on. If you can't move forward, I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to all of us. Now, obviously you are the choir. You're here. And I see most all these faces every Sunday. And so I understand that you press. And I'm grateful to you, and I know the Lord appreciates it. But now we're going up. So what's it like to be high? Well, it's better than being low. But seriously, what does that mean? Arise from what to what? What are we talking about? And shine, how and why? How and why? What is this arise and shine? What really is it? Or we can just go out and say, oh, we're so good, we arise, we shine and give God the glory. When I mean, my mother said it to me every morning. She'd come in, flip on the light and say, rise and shine. Those were her words. There was no glory in that. Praise the Lord. I'm that kid that school started at 8 and I got up at 7:30, you know. But, you know, seriously, what does it mean? Well, you could arise from darkness. And there's a lot of levels about that. Rising from one thing to another, growing from one grace to another. The Hebrew word for arise is the word kum. And it means to get strengthened and succeed. Shine is the word or. You're familiar with that. It's in the first verse of the Bible, or second verse. It means to give light. So you can arise and shine on so many levels. We could talk about so many levels. And if you're ignorant, I didn't say stupid. I said if you're ignorant, there's a big difference. Ignorant people just have ignored. They don't know some things. Stupid people are a different thing. But you can get some illumination from the word and you can rise higher. You can rise higher in your understanding. So you got that authority and you can rise higher and you can come out of the loneliness like people did today and you can come out of a sickness and I mean there's all sorts of ways to rise higher.
Amen.
They used to sing an old song, how high is the water, mama? 2 foot high and rising. Anybody remember that song? Okay, three of y'all. Praise the Lord. The kids are like, what? You don't know it? Oh, well, you didn't grow up. She just comes from Dallas. She don't get that kind of stuff. Okay. We could talk about arising, rise higher. I mean, Ronnie was giving a good example this morning of how, you know, when the queen would enter or the king would enter, people would rise and, you know, there was a respect to it. So there's that kind of rising up. There's all sorts of ways to arise, all sorts of way to shine. Come on up, succeed. Let the world, this is how I want to go though. Won't you listen to me? I want us to come on up and succeed and let the world see how good God is because of this. You ready? Because you are now going to carry a heavier presence. Okay? You're now going to carry a heavier presence. It's time. In the past, we would ask, what would be the areas that you need to succeed in order to let your light shine? Because just in case you don't know, which I think everybody in here does know, but just in case you don't know, your main successful evangelistic tool is your life every day. It's how you succeed every day. Come on. That's your main tool. Now we can hit the streets. We can get online. We can have extra meetings. We can do all the things. We can do all the, what do we used to call that servant evangelism. Remember we're cleaning up blocks and all the stuff we did when we were in Lockhart. You can do all those things. But what generally is being looked at is you every day. Yeah. So, you know, if you just sour all the time, then that's how people see Jesus. But if you're winning, if you're overcoming, doesn't mean some things don't come along, but you're winning, you're overcoming, you're succeeding, your life is changing, that's speaking volumes to people. Well, how are they doing that? Well, why are they? What's it? You know, they want to know. But that's your number one evangelistic tool. is every day. So I guess what I'm trying to get across to you today, if I could say it anyway, is increasing your effectiveness. Once again, increasing your effectiveness. But now in this season, there will be a very heavy, weighty grace on your life for success. I'm prophesying to you right now. You can take it or not. You taking it? Because there's going to be a grace for you to succeed more than you ever have before. Yeah. I absolutely know that's true. I told you Wednesday night, and I'll tell you again, and I'll tell everybody listening, the Babylonian system is about to fall. And this is the end of an age, but it's not the end of time. The church will rise up. The glory will come and is coming. The church is rising up. It's not in the distant, but it's coming more and more. The church has to awaken. And we are now seeing that. And we are going to see great revival.
Amen.
Great awakening in this nation and around the world. And so your part is to arise and shine in your effectiveness, but in a heavier, weightier grace.
Amen. Amen.
Remember what grace is. It's the empowerment. You're empowered. It's something given to you, like salvation was given to you. You're empowered. Okay, it'll become a little clearer to you as we go here. A very heavy. Now, I'm talking about your effectiveness in and from the kingdom of God. So, see, you know, you can succeed, but then you could succeed more.
Amen.
Yeah? You know, some people succeed very well in some areas. But what if you could succeed in a lot of areas? Some people give so much of their life to their business and stuff that their family life. But what if you could just succeed in relationships, in family? What if you just had success in all those things? What if you had money in the bank and your wife still loves you? You know what I'm saying? Well, what if there's still something good? What if the relationship got better?
Amen.
Well, what if you watch your kids grow up different than you were raised?
Yeah.
They had a better life, and all of them succeeded.
Yeah.
You know, in our house, it was kind of like, yeah, these two will do okay. I don't know about these two. Guess which side I was on. But we all did good. You can succeed more. If you choose to be baptized in a heavier presence. Now, don't let me lose you there. Like, oh, well, I was baptized in the Spirit in 1970-something. Well, and some people are going, 70s? Who was born then? Well, I was actually an adult. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit in 1976, 1 month after my baby was born. And it's been wonderful ever since. That might have been one of the greatest, if not the greatest thing that ever happened to me, was having the Spirit of God yielding. Now, I got the Spirit of God when I was saved. The Holy Spirit came in me when I was born again. But when I yielded to the Spirit of God, the gifts of the Spirit began to immediately work in me, and I didn't even know what they were. So spiritual gifts are not about spiritual maturity. They come with the package. But that's no sign to, oh, I'm so spiritually mature because I operate in prophecy. No, you're not. You're spiritually mature if we see the fruit of the Spirit in your life.
Yeah.
Particularly that one called self-control. Anyway, moving right along. Y'all are quiet today. So, you know, I understand there's all levels of growing in the church. Some are veterans in the Word. Some know how to flow in the Spirit. Some do both. Some still need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they need to learn how to function better in their prayer life, things like that. Everybody's at a different level. It's okay. Some people still trying to come out of religion. So they have to arise to a higher place because religion will just put you in prison. It'd just be you trying to work everything out in your flesh. Praise God if you were born free. I wasn't. I was raised in religion. And so I had to come out of that. And I'm happy to say that I'm out as far as I know. Whatever else I need to get rid of, I'm going to get rid of. So I want to tell you this. Wherever you are, you're going to catch up fast. Remember the story about the guy who got paid so much money? And they had worked and worked, and then the others came along, and at the end of the day, they all got paid that amount. And those guys are like, what am I, chopped liver? I've been working all day. They came in at 3 o'clock. Remember the story?
Yeah.
Well, we may have all been working, but everybody else is going to catch up with us. So you might as well just get happy about it.
Hallelujah.
Amen. People are going to catch up. They're going to catch up in what they need to do. And we want them to. So we all know that to be effective, we have to do one thing. We have to look at ourselves first. If you're going to be effective, you're going to have to look at yourself. You're going to have to judge yourself. By the way, the Bible says if you judge yourself, no man can judge you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's a good thing. Amen. So we might as well go ahead and judge ourselves. Are you with me today?
Yeah.
So even if you're just trying to help someone else through a critical time, you really have to take care of yourself first. I can prove that to you if you've ever flown. Because they tell you right away when they start doing the buckle thing in front of you, they said, if the cabin should lose pressure, there will be a little mask come down, and be sure and put it on your child before you put it on you. Wrong. Put the mask on yourself and then put it on your child, because 10 seconds of chaos, 10 seconds of no air, you're out and then they're out. So you have to put the mask on yourself first. So you have to arise first. If you're going to help somebody, you're going to have to be effective yourself. You're going to have to rise up so that you can help other people. Amen. So I want to just tell you in the next few minutes before we go, three things that you should arise and shine in. Now, I want you to keep in this same area we're talking about here. We're arising and we are shining in a heavier presence.
Amen.
Well, how can that be? Well, it can. Mm-hmm. It just depends on your encounters with God. How much time you spend with him, what kind of encounters you have with him. Mm-hmm. And that can't be done with just our 3 hours of church a week. Can't. Amen.
Amen.
Three things. The first one is we need to be led.
Yeah.
Amen. You needed to be led way back there, and you need to be led when you're way up here. Well, it's the glory time now. You still need to be led.
Absolutely.
John 16:13 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He's even going to show you what's coming.
Amen.
That's pretty good stuff. And he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, and therefore said I that he shall take of mine and show it to you. God tells it, Father tells it to Jesus, Jesus tells it to the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost tells it to me. So it's very clear to me here in many places in the Word that God will guide us. He's faithful, church. He'll guide us. And if you have any faith in his leading or his guidance, then there's no need for you to go around praying, Lord, please lead me. Lord, please lead me. But be praying, but be declaring, Lord, I'm keen to your guidance.
Yes.
Let's just say that. Lord, I'm keen to your guidance. Say it again. Lord, I'm keen to your guidance. Now that's when we're approaching him in prayer, that's what we say. Lord, I'm keen to your guidance. I declare I'm keen to your guidance. You already said you'd lead me. I don't have to ask for that.
Amen.
Why does the church always want to ask for what's already theirs?
Wow.
Because they forget, because they leak.
Yes, ma'am.
They forget what's theirs. It's ours. He's keen. We're keen to his guidance. He doesn't leave. We're the ones that walk away. He's always faithful. He's always there. No shadow of turning. He's always available. Holy Spirit's always speaking. Well, I haven't heard from the Lord in a long time. That's because, can I just talk Texas here? It's because you ain't listening. You're not listening because he's talking. So how does he lead? How's the main way God leads you? It's a word called unction. You get this unction. You get this unction, and it's a familiar moving down inside you. It's a prompting. Yeah, I'm supposed to go this way. Yeah, I'm supposed to. Now, because of the gifts on my life, I hear a lot of words, a lot of words. The Lord will just talk to me. And some of you, it's very true too. But there's also this unction, which is the most familiar to most people. You're like, no, yes, you get an unction. Now, that unction is good. And you should be obedient to it. And sometimes when you have an unction, you might have to go out on the limb.
Yeah.
You might have to go, well, might not be quite as comfortable, but I think I'm supposed to do that.
Yeah.
But this is never, ever to be confused with emotions. I need to buy that, and I need to buy that now. That could be lust.
Yeah.
Here's the main one. I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it to them right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody went, ah. That's lust. I got to say it, and I got to say it now because I got to control. That's emotion. That is not an unction from the Holy Ghost. The unction from the Holy Ghost will be that prompting to tell you, be quiet right now, or say this, don't say this, say this. It's a different feeling. It's a different thing. There's a little feeling with it by the time it gets to you from your head, from your heart to your head. But you just got to watch out that you're not just, well, I believe the Lord is prompting me to tell you off right now. Probably not. And I want to say something to you. I think you, as you're growing in the Word, you know the difference. But I want to say something to you that maybe you haven't thought a whole lot about, and that is this. Much of the time, he moves through our thoughts and our inclinations. He does move through our thoughts. There's a way to walk in his guidance, even in your thoughts, if you're allowing the Lord to think with you. But you better know that it's him thinking with you. You got to get to the place where you know and understand that. 2 Timothy 1:14 says, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Paul is telling Timothy, commit your thoughts and inclinations to him daily to control. Daily to control. Commit your thoughts to the Lord. Do we see that? Do you see that? When we commit anything to any person, and we turn it over to him, they have it for their safekeeping. You're not dealing with it anymore. Okay? So, Danny does all the books in the church. I don't even look at them. She just tells me what I need to know when I need to know it. But I turned that over to her. So I don't go and look over her shoulder and say, Now, who gave and what and who did this? I don't. She does it. I turned that over. Now, as the pastor of the church, I have the right to step in at any time and see anything I want to see. But I turn that over her, so on a daily basis, she takes care of the finances. She'll help you with it. She does what she needs to do. She's out of the banking world. She's really good at it. She's an administrator, opened a lot of businesses, started businesses in her time, and she knows what she's doing. So I've given it over to someone who's totally capable.
Amen. Right.
Well, do you know that God is totally capable of taking care of these things with you? He can think with you. Give you the right inclination. Give you the right answer. I'm so happy about that. Thank you, Jesus. He'll work with you. For I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know, I believe that Danielle Schaefer can take care of the finances. She's not a cheater. She's never cheated. There's nothing in me that thinks that she's gonna decide to take a dollar. I'm never concerned. I mean, she's like, Pastor, hold on. This was out. You know, this came out. She is so conscious and conscientious about that. Well, how much more is God about your thoughts if you'll commit them to him and not be running off into places? This idea for your speculative imagination is something you got to shut down. Well, I think it was because like this, because they felt like this and this like this. And you're just speculating.
Right.
You don't know. A 100 people with 100 different thoughts on why Virginia left early. You might as well drop that. You might as well get the thoughts of God. Virginia's in heaven. Little stinker. I have a whole stand-up about Virginia being in heaven. I can't wait. I'm going to be able to do it. It's so cool. So when they picked her up in the chariot and she went to heaven, and she probably had them back the chariot in the parking space. Because Virginia always backed up in a parking space. I love it. Isn't it so wonderful that you're so familiar with your friends? They say, Virginia was always, what do they call it, carrying, packing?
Packing?
Always. She's always packing. She always had her gun on. Always. So I went to her house when she was laying on the couch, you know, recently. And she looked at me and pointed over to her gun laying over there. It's right there. I'm like, okay. Okay. This has nothing to do with what I'm preaching about, but it's fun. But I mean, I just tell you all sorts of stuff about Virginia. Virginia's a dancer.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we'll talk about it when we have service with her. But I know her. I still know her. God knows you. See, I'm not lost. God knows you. He knows your thoughts. And he knows his thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So he could work with you as you commit your thoughts to him, which will help you be led, which will help you arise to a higher place while you are carrying this heavier presence in your life. The second thing you're going to need. Oh yeah, I can say that. Let me say that before we go to number two. Well, you know, I just don't get it. We're not supposed to be slaves. And now Jesus is making us slaves. Oh, honey. No, that's just not the truth. The submission that we render elevates us to a high, carefree life in God. It gets our minds in perfect peace. I'm all about, like, Lord, you just take care of it, because I don't know what to do.
That's right.
I mean, it's kind of easy for women, because we do that with men. I don't know what to do. You fix it.
Yeah.
I mean, John. Hey, Jeff, you know, we're called, Art, can you run? You know, I mean, that's the way we are. Women depend on men, which is a good thing. It's the way it should be. But we can all do that with God in our thoughts. Amen. Number two, anointing. If you're going to do something in this higher level, this heavier place, you're going to need some anointing. You're like, what? Hold on. You're going to succeed. The anointing is different than the glory. The anointing is the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God that has been rubbed on you. It comes on you as you flow in the Spirit with God, and there are certain anointings on your life, kind of like talents, but they're coming from your Spirit. And so the anointing on your life removes people's burdens, destroys people's yoke, helps you through things. That's the anointing. Some people have an anointing to do business, sell, things like that. Some people have anointing to preach. Some people, you have a lot of anointings, but you are anointed with God rubbed on you. Right. The glory is a realm. When the glory comes in here, it's his, now it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. I understand that, but it's released into this space or into the place where you are. And it's a realm of the kingdom that is coming in a heavier, weightier presence that he wants you to be aware of. Yeah. What'd Moses say? I want to see your glory. What'd God say? I'll let my goodness pass before you. It's a heavier, weighty presence of goodness. It's the realm. It's a realm. The anointing, you lay hands on people, and that anointing will remove burdens and destroy yoke. In the glory, you don't have to touch anybody. Everybody gets something. Okay. But you need the anointing in this because you need what you're carrying in your personal life. And there's three ways to get this anointing. Number one is association. Number two is environment. And number three is influence. The number way, association, that's who. The number two way, environment, that's where. The number three way is influence. That's what, our inspiration, impact, and guidance. So, you know, we've spent years talking to incarcerated people. Ron's been leading our prison team for a long time. And Deb and I used to go with him all the time. And actually, before we came here, we preached in prisons. And the number one thing to be aware of is toxic relationships. That's the number one thing to be aware of. So, you know, this holds true for all of us, because the thing is that people sacrifice their whole life so that they can be accepted by their buddies. That's a high price to pay.
It is.
Sacrifice your whole life to be influenced with negative influence. People are like elevators. They'll either take you up or take you down.
Yep.
Amen. So, all the people that you love or your friends, they do have a place in your life. They do. But they're not your light. You're their light. And that, I don't say that haughtily. I just say that you've got to keep your place. You be a light to them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So, hang around somebody bigger than you. Hang around someone who knows more truth than you do. Hang around with them. Get to know them. See what they think. Don't be hanging around with people who are going to say, I don't know why you follow such and such. There, did you see how they have been? You know, that isn't going to help you at all. It's not going to help you at all. Or, oh, you know, God doesn't care. We can do this. We'll go to church on Sunday. We can toke on Monday on the front porch, whatever. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. How are you going to walk in the heaviness of the glory if you got a buzz on something else?
Yeah.
I'll leave that alone, but you shouldn't. Church is a good environment. It's where you can form quality relationships. Mm-hmm. Fellowshipping with him in your car, in your home, in your place of prayer, in your prayer chair, wherever you are. Fellowship with him. Talk to him. Talk to him like I'd talk to Jesse. Have a conversation with him. Learn to say the right things with him. He has the right words for you when he's working through you. Worship time, what we do every Sunday when we worship God together. The prayer time that we have here on Tuesdays. You can make your home a good environment. You know how to do that? Start talking the right things at home. Oh, this place looks like a dump. No. Start cleaning it up. Start speaking to it. Yeah. Amen. Because you need to plant your own garden. And you start with words. And then you build something around you that pleases you. You do good by certain things with certain things. There are certain things that make you do well. Obviously, we like water because we all live by the lakes. We live close to the lakes. You do well by water. That's wonderful. I do well by country. I want to live in the country. Yeah, you could put me in the middle of 1,000 acres. I'd be happy. As long as I had some internet. Well, you know. Praise the Lord. What do you do well? What could you put in your house that would make you do well? You've seen something beautiful. Put your faith out and get it. I'm talking about even natural things. Certainly words and how you have peace with those that live with you and things like that. But what feels good to you? What brings you peace? Cleanliness, obviously. But what else? There was a painting. I saw a painting in the Smithsonian that I loved. I just loved it. I could just stand there and look at it. It's called Kindred Spirits. I just stand there and just look at it. And Deb's saying, let's go. And I'm going, okay, I really like that. Well, Deb had it commissioned and painted for me. So it's hanging in my home right now. And I still look at it and think, oh, so good. What blesses you? What blesses your life? I like grass in my front yard. I'm not a gravel person. I want grass. What blesses you? What do you really like? I like horses. And I like mooses.
Yeah.
What do you like? What do you like? What makes you happy? What will give you peace? What can you, Lord, look at that. Isn't that so beautiful? Those little hummingbirds that come flying in. And you're going, look at them, Jesus. Well, I have a talk with Jesus about those hummingbirds all the time. Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
I like nature. All nature's worshiping God.
Yes.
So I like nature. That's why atheists like to go out and go on trail hikes and stuff. It's their closest thing to being with God.
Right.
All nature's just worshiping God. Praise the Lord. I'm trying to get through this, but bear with me. We're almost there. Influence is big. Praise the Lord. It's one of your major, what is your major influence? The Word of God, Spirit of God. Grace should be your major influence. Grace should be. Compare everything you hear preached with grace. Not sloppy grace, real grace. You don't want to be conformed by a set of rules all the time. You want to know what the Word of God says. You're transformed by the DNA of grace that is in your life. Number three, if you're going to be effective, you're going to need to prosper.
Right.
So you need to be led, you need to have some anointing, and you need to prosper. That's an important thing. Well, I think I'm just, you know, that's... Those prosperity preachers have it all wrong. Well, then you don't understand what prosperity means, because prosperity is way more than money. Prosperity is the ability to take the ability of God and bless mankind. You gotta be prosperous in your soul. You can find ways to bless people. That's when you're prosperous. Because there was about, 4 or 5 people moving a couch around yesterday. What are they're prosperous. They're blessing someone else. See that? Amen.
Amen.
This and this and this happened. They're prosperous. They're blessing. And finances are certainly included in that. Actually, to prosper, if you're going to prosper financially and totally in everything you do, your soul's going to prosper. It's going to require step one and step two. You got to be led and you got to be anointed.
Yeah.
That's how you're going to prosper. So you can just revert back, step one, step two. Now listen to this. We're going to start closing with this, and we're right on the clock real good. Some manufacturers of a furniture company called their designers and told them to forget everything they ever knew about a chair, a table, etc., and approach the product from an angle never considered before. They wanted them to come up with new ideas and new innovations. This is called crash thinking. Have you heard of it? Crash thinking. Now, we reap the benefits of the crash thinking with the furniture because now we have more comfortable furniture. I don't know, my grandma and them sat on some real hard stuff. And their grandparents really did. They just had wooden chairs, you know. And those feather beds and stuff like that. I mean, you know, we're sleeping on Tempur-Pedics and whatever pedic you're sleeping on. But so crash thinking, when you forget the past and start over, that's crash thinking. Now, you remember the Lord did that to me, and I've shared this with all of you. I'm driving up on the cart, and I get to the top of the land, and I look out over the piece of land where we've been plotting and planning and thinking about some things we're going to do with the land. And I said, Lord, what do you see? And he said, nothing. So I went back up the next day, and he said, nothing. And so he's telling me to crash think. Let's go back and start over. And so go back and start over and see where he wants to go in your thinking with you. Because you may have had some stuff lodged in there. Can I say this to you? Can I say this to you? You're going to get it. Maybe what you were thinking could have been okay, but maybe too much time lapsed. And so now you got to start from here to get to where you're going. You get that? And so maybe you may have to skip a couple of steps that you thought, well, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. But then time lapsed and things didn't get done. And so you can move now to this place if you'll do some crash thinking. Okay, we're going to have to start over. Amen. So this could be, this is helping you financially right now, church. There may be some things you wanted to do business-wise that you may need to start over with. Amen. Here's your scripture for it, so you don't think I'm just making this stuff up. This is Isaiah 43:18. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I do a new thing, now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Do not remember former things, neither consider the things of old. This means do not be guided by antiquated, outdated interpretations of men. We could just go there scripturally. Well, Mamaw said it meant. Meemaw said it meant this. Nana went here with, well, you know, Grandpa always told us, well, Grandma bought it or taught it. I bought it and it was costly because that's not what the Bible meant there. Mm-hmm. Women be silent in church. Mm-hmm. A lot of people bought that, but they didn't really read the context and what Paul was really saying. He was getting onto some women who had some cuckoo ideas. They were trying to say that they were the mothers of whatever. Anyway, excuse me. But all these little things, you know, that, remember, now y'all don't remember this, but Dee probably remembers. Remember when our mothers were always wanting to know? They couldn't understand the thing about divorce in the Bible. Yeah. They'd get their cigarettes and coffee out. And sit at the table and discuss what divorce meant in the Bible. Because Jesus said one thing and Paul said another. So what are we going to do? And then here come Pastor Ellison driving up and everybody was putting those cigarettes out, hiding the ashtrays. Here comes Pastor Ellison. Ah! He liked to come to our house because his girlfriend lived next door. So he was always, no, she was just a friend. She was a sweet lady. They were just friends, but it was cute. But, you know, we have to think about this. I mean, there's just things that it wasn't true. All right, I'm going to move along. Y'all understand that. Get a revelation on what you need to get a revelation on. Just start over. So if you're going to be effective for the kingdom of God, bring heaven to earth, you're going to need to be led by God, you're going to need to be anointed, and you're going to need to be prosperous. Go ahead. I'm going to say something. If your religious self doesn't like it, then you can just forgive me because you're a Christian. Go ahead and get some money. Because we're going to push this gospel around the world. We're going to help the Jewish nation. We're going to preach this gospel around the world. And it's going to be more than a $100 offering. Some people haven't even made that yet. We need to get way beyond that. Amen. It's quiet in the church, but I'm telling the truth. Need to go ahead and prosper. Go ahead and have a savings account. Go ahead and have some money. Go ahead and see yourself prosper. Doesn't mean you're haughty. It doesn't mean that you think you have more than somebody else. It means you're a giver. Means you're a giver. Well, you know, I've never been able to break through. I'm still just on my check. Church. That's why we just taught everything we just taught to you. You're going to a higher level. There is now a heavier grace to help you move forward in the finances, in your prayer life, in your walk with God, in your effectiveness, and in your anointings. And when we sense the heavy, weighty presence of God, we will be able to react according to what is going on in the kingdom realm. You received this today? Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you, Lord, that at any time we want to, you've just given us the ability to just start over. And we thank you for that, Lord. And so for those that need to start over today, we just declare anointing on their life. Yeah, I'll do what you told me to do. I hear you. And we just declare that they are led by the Spirit. And we just declare in the name of Jesus that they are prosperous. Thank you for it, Lord. And yes, I'll do that the way you want me to. Thank you, Lord, for it. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you for it, Lord. We will and shall arise. We will get ourselves to another level as we watch people come into the kingdom. We'll get ourselves to another level as we're able to minister and be effective to people. Why is your life so good? Why are you not freaking out? Why are you not freaking out in this world? Because God is my Father. Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Will you arise? Will you arise in this heavier presence that's coming?
Yes.
I'm going to say something to you. There may be sometimes we just sit here.
Yeah.
And nobody says a word, just sit in the anointing. There may be times when you're laying on the floor. There might be times when you're taking a run. We did that. I like that stuff. There may be times when just all sorts of things. There may be a lot of times where we're just preaching in the most drunken Holy Ghost state possible. But you just be prepared for that. Because God is moving. And if you'll receive that while it's going on, see, God's working on you right now while I'm talking. All of you that aren't thinking about going to Doc's yet to eat. But right now, if you're still connected right now, God is still moving in your heart right now. He's still moving your heart. Train yourself up to go, to be able to make it for 2 hours. We're exactly 11:45 right now. You train yourself up that you can sit and listen to somebody preach for an hour. It's not going to hurt you. People say, well, we don't want to go to those meetings because it's so long. Train yourself up. Tell your body no. Tell yourself no. Tell yourself, I'm going to get up. I'm going to go. I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to keep myself awake and I'm going to get what I need to get. Train yourself because we're going to a higher level and you got to be trained to do what we're going to do in the next phase of life.
That's right.
Amen.
That is right.
Thank you, Jesus.